from the Premier League. It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Double, double, chips and struggle. In this episode, we look at game week 36, which sees 12 teams playing twice. We have all the info you need on this week's official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Hello, welcome back to your official Game Week 36 FPL preview. Yes, well done. You have got through 36 game weeks almost, and probably, what, about 36 podcasts too. The finishing line is very much in sight, but the next two game weeks are both doubles, so could make or break your season. So let's crack on and hopefully get you shooting up those leagues. We have two free hits active on our panel this week, so let's introduce them. Welcome back to broadcaster Ian Irving. Ian, I'm told you've brought your chips and your chat this week.
Absolutely. Good intro that, Kelly. Thank you very much.
I'm getting better as the season goes on. And the same for you, broadcaster Tom Williams. Free hit is also active.
Free hit is also active, but I am very much not getting better as the season goes on. And if we're in make or break territory, I'm much closer to break than make at the moment.
Okay, well, hopefully over the next half an hour, we can help you out with that. And finally, casting his expert eye across both of these free hits and everything else, it's Lee from FPL Family.
Morning, Kelly. Yeah, haven't ruled out the free hit myself, but at the moment not playing it. But I'm looking forward to seeing how the guys are putting free hit drafts together.
Yeah, we'll hear more about those free hits very shortly. But let's firstly, as always, take stock of game week 35 and the big talking points. And to be honest, Lee, it was a little bit disappointing, wasn't it? In terms of players blanking, we had Kevin De Bruyne benched, and at Liverpool in the early game, an early blow, seeing both Trent Alexander-Arnold and Mo Salah on the bench.
Yeah, I think when I look back at the game week, it was a little bit underwhelming, unless you had the league's in-form player. If you've got Son in your team, and I know there was a few out there in the FPL community that captained Son last week because, you know, there's a few rogue captaincies knocking about this time of the season, a few people looking to take a bit of a risk to boost up those ranks. So if you had Son captain or you had him in your team, fair play. But otherwise, Kelly, it was a little bit of a mediocre game week all round, I have to say.
Yeah, 19 points for Son Heung-min. All of you guys actually captained Harry Kane. Could have been worse. You could have been one of the Mo Salah captainers. But Ian, I imagine you've spoken on this podcast before about selling Son Heung-min. That must get more painful week on week. Yes, again.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't have to talk about it again. It's the biggest mistake I think I've made of the season. It's one of the worst transfers I've ever made in the history of my playing FPL. I think I said last time that it had cost 43 points in 2 weeks to bring Harry Kane in and take Son out as part of removing Ivan Toney and bringing in Anthony Gordon as well. I don't know if I need to go over it again. This feels like therapy almost. It was dreadful. I've not added up
the points. Let it all out, mate. Let it all out.
I've not added up the points since, but it's definitely worse than 43 now.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Let's talk about Spurs a bit more broadly, though, Ian, because Kulusevski was on the bench but still came on and returned. There was a lot of people who were saying before the last game week, maybe it's time to part company with Spurs. They've certainly parked any concerns, really, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. And I think this is another issue that we've talked about on the podcast before, the idea that Spurs have definitely got something to play for in these remaining matches. Even going to Anfield at the weekend, you know that they have to be going full throttle at it to try and get some vital points in the battle for the top four. Because if they were to lose at Liverpool at the weekend, of course, then it hands Arsenal the keys to fourth place, really. They can afford to lose the North London derby and still be in control of that spot. So in that sense, they're a team to definitely target in these remaining matches. And Kulusevski still cheap, still delivering, even being left on the bench seemed to only inspire him to return. So he's definitely one at his price that people should be having a look at in this double if they haven't got him.
Elsewhere, Manchester City provided clean sheets and two Phil Foden assists. Chelsea assets blank, though, in Everton's 1-0 win at Goodison Park on Sunday. Manchester United, though, ran out 3-0 winners against Brentford on Monday night. 14 points for second top scorer Raphael Varane and 12 points for Alex Telles. Tom, all of this form for Manchester United feels a little bit late for the team and also for us in FPL.
Yeah, given that I think most of us, perhaps Cristiano Ronaldo aside, decided that United players weren't really worth bothering with about 2 or 3 months ago. I don't think that Man United performance is going to necessarily change people's thinking about their players, particularly as, you know, they don't double in the game week that we've got coming up.
Looking at one of your two transfers you made this week, you took a 4-point hit to bring in Kasper Schmeichel and Matty Cash. That's very much with an eye on both of their double-doubles, I'm guessing.
It very much is. Didn't work out in the short term because I only scored 37 points last week, having taken a 4-point hit to bring those two in. But yeah, that is part of the forward planning. I worry that I've got to a point now where I'm forward planning to such an extent that I'm almost scrapping entire game weeks in my haste to prepare my team for future game weeks, which is, you know...
Not many of them left, Tom.
Well, this is the issue. I kind of feel like I'm probably going to peak in about mid-June. I'll finally have my team where I need it to be in about mid-June. But yeah, no, I mean, the one consolation of game week 35 was that I'm quite happy with where my squad is going into game week 36 when I'm going to be free hitting, and then behind that going into game week 37 as well.
Okay, we'll talk about game week 36 in just a moment, but let's quickly have a look at our mini league. 3 game weeks remaining, and it's another change at the top. Soldiers of Sondre going back to top of the pile. Congratulations to Money Mace, who spent a lot of the time at the top themselves. They're the highest scorer in the top 10 with a game week total of 90 points. A reminder again, the code in case you haven't joined, 1KI. KS7. Now though, as promised, let's look ahead to a huge double game week 36. Okay, so the next 2 game weeks are huge. 12 teams double in 36 and 5 in 37. And Aston Villa, Everton and Leicester are 3 teams who have doubles in both of those game weeks. Also, do be aware that Manchester United blank in 37. To check out the full fixtures, head over to premierleague.com. Do also be aware, this week is a later deadline of 1:30 on Saturday, as there is no early game. Okay then, the 12 teams at double in 36, Aston Villa, Arsenal, Chelsea, Everton, Leicester, Leeds, Liverpool, Norwich, Man City, Spurs, Watford and Wolves. In 37, it's Villa, Everton, Leicester, Burnley and Palace. Okay then, 36. I did already give you all a spoiler and say we have some free hits active. So Ian, why is yours active? What made you think this is the game week I need to use it in?
Good question. I had it, so I needed to use it, and I had no idea really why it would be 36, 37, or even potentially 38 that I'd use it, because I got to a point where my team was full of doublers for this game week. I just thought that this week potentially had the most upside, in that I may have already had a load of doublers, but I could potentially pick an optimum 11 of doublers, which actually incorporated quite a few players I already owned, but would just add that little bit of stardust around those key players already. And having done several drafts, I think I'm happier with the team heading into this game week than the original lineup that I had. And I remember us saying on the podcast a while ago that he'd done it in a double, I can't remember which double it was, but one of the doubles earlier on in the season. And he added something like 70 points to his total for that week. There's always a little bit of a gamble because you're taking out players who are playing. So if you use it in a blank, obviously, you're sort of minimising the risk of your original side outscoring your free hit team. But this week, when you look at the calibre of players and teams who are doubling, you could be on for a huge haul if you get it right.
If you get it right, that's the big thing, isn't it? My free hit earlier in the season.
Spoiler alert.
Ian, are you just free hitting to be able to get Son in his double game week?
Maybe.
Tom, what about you? What prompted you to activate your free hit?
Yeah, a similar thought process, really. And also, I think looking at the fixtures, it's going to be very easy for most FPL managers to have lots of players who are playing twice this week. But not all of the players who people already have in their teams have got great double game weeks. I mean, obviously Son Heung-min is in exceptional form at the moment, but Spurs have got a really tricky double game week. You know, away at title-chasing Liverpool, home to Arsenal in what could be quite a cagey North London derby. I mean, it could also be an absolute goal fest. I am very much trying to talk myself around to the idea of not having any Spurs players. Also, you know, teams like Aston Villa, Arsenal, yes, they double, but they're not great doubles. So I'm hoping that whereas a lot of people will complacently assume that because they've got 9, 10, 11 players on doubles, that they're guaranteed a points haul, whereas my carefully deployed free hit will enable me to actually pinpoint the fixtures where you know, the big FPL assets are actually likely to rack up serious points. But that is very much the theory, and is as ever it with me in FPL this season, yet to be proven.
I'm sure it will become very obvious who's in your free hit teams as we go through the teams that double. So let's do that, and then at the end you can fully reveal the teams and maybe any question marks you've got, and give each other feedback with Lee, the independent adjudicator. Though by then, Lee, you might have activated your own free hit chip.
Well, the guys might talk me into it, you know. They might talk me into it. And I don't have Son in my team either. And I must admit, I'm looking over lovingly at him and thinking, this is a player on form that I need in my team. But, you know, as the guys have already said, I opened up the app to set my team for the game week. And it looked pretty good. And my concern, going back to what Ian was saying, was that if I play my free hit, I'm potentially taking out players that will do well this week. And I hear what Tom's saying. You know, you want to play it aggressively, if you like, and go for a couple of differentials, have a bit of fun with it. But, yeah, for example, I would take Kulusevski out on my free hit this week. Could do really well, right? And we've heard from Conte playing in potentially at wing-back, etc. So I think I would take him out. But then, you know, bench last week, come on, 8 points, reasonable form, you know, games that Spurs have got to win. So I am a bit concerned that I'm going to take out some points. But, you know, if you're looking for a bit of, you know, fun, if you need some differentials going into this game week to shoot up your mini-leagues, then maybe it is the right time to play it.
Okay, so let's dive into these teams then that are playing twice. We'll start with the team that on paper have the two best fixtures according to the fixture difficulty rating, Leicester City. But Lee, do we have to approach Brendan Rodgers' side with a little bit of caution?
Yeah, we do, don't we? I mean, on paper, that looks sensational, doesn't it? Everton and Norwich. But I'm a big believer in, especially at this time of the season, picking FPL assets from teams that have got something to play for in the league. It's very important that you go into the likes of, I think, Everton, who are scrapping for, you know, for their lives at the bottom of the league, or Arsenal and Spurs clearly going for fourth, Liverpool, City going for the title. And Leicester, I don't think, fall into that category. They've got a lot to play for on a European front, clearly. And at time of recording, we're not sure how they've got on in the Europa Conference League. But we've already seen a bit of rotation against Spurs in the last game week. And I expect to see more rotation coming into this double game week, Kelly. There's only 72 hours between their two games. So they've got to play Roma, then they've got Everton, and then there's 72 hours until the Norwich game. So we're going to see, I think, lots of rotation between the two games. If you've got a Maddison, if you've got a Harvey Barnes, if you've got a Schmeichel, who I'll come to in a second, then I don't think you sell these guys, because on paper the double game wheel looks great. But I don't know if I'd be going, you know, all out Leicester on my free hit and getting three of them, for example. I do like your transfer in of Schmeichel, though, Tom, last week. I think of all of the Leicester players, he's the one that you'd expect to get, you know, both games and suffer least from that rotation. So I think Schmeichel's okay. But outside of that, Kelly, bit of a minefield.
Yeah, Schmeichel's not playing for me this week, but thanks for the...
it's a good tip for you there, Tom.
Thanks for the validation, Lee. I look forward to his double PG.
Yeah. Ian, you do, however, have Schmeichel on your free hit, I've noticed.
Yeah. I think the fixtures are good. He's the one who will play both those games. But I do have the same concerns as Lee. The fact that Everton are scrapping and in decent form as well, to be fair. They got a draw against Leicester at Goodison a few weeks ago, and they seem to have improved since then. Certainly the mood around the clubs are a lot more positive now than it was back then. But the Norwich game's plum, isn't it, to be honest? So I guess if you've got someone like a James Maddison, is it okay if he just starts one of these two and comes on in the other? Is it all right if he gets something like 30 minutes off the bench in one and more or less 90 minutes in the other? A key factor in this, undoubtedly, is how Leicester get on later as well in the Europa Conference League. If they are to go through, then I think rotation is definitely going to be an issue for them, probably across the next couple of game weeks, to be fair. Whereas if they go out, obviously it'll be just singly focused on the Premier League with not a great deal to play for potentially. So it's an interesting blend. I'm sure we'll talk about Manchester City in a moment as well, because them going out of the Champions League in such dramatic fashion too is also a bit of a conundrum in terms of the effect that it has on the team now, and also on their selection for Pep Guardiola as well, because there was at one point you sort of thought, right, well, if they go through, it's just full steam ahead in the Premier League, go for the title as strong as possible. And maybe that's what he does now. Or maybe he thinks that things need to be shaken up a little bit.
Okay, so let's move on to some other teams that might be popular. As Ian mentioned there, Manchester City, Newcastle and Wolves for them. They did go out of the Champions League on Wednesday night, as mentioned. Lee, how do we think that'll affect the Pep roulette?
Oh, well, it will, won't it? Inevitably. I mean, I had my eyes on Phil Foden, whether I was going to free hit or not. I did have my eyes on him, but I think he played the majority, if not all, of the 120 minutes that Manchester City played against Real Madrid in what was a cauldron of a game at the Bernabeu, wasn't it? I mean, what an intense game that's going to be. So Pep surely is coming into this game thinking about, you know, who needs to rest and who he needs to rotate. But having gone out of the Champions League now, it must be now full steam ahead in the Premier League. It has to be, right? And it's not going to be an easy game. All right, they're at home, but it's at home to an in-form Newcastle. I know Newcastle lost last time out to Liverpool, but before that, the form was sensational and Eddie Howe's doing such a great job there up at Newcastle. So I did have my eyes on Phil Foden, but because of the minutes, probably not, frankly. He has got 19 points from his last two Premier League games and it is only 6.7% owned. Now, with free hits aplenty going off in the FPL community, he's likely to be a bit more owned by that. But at time of recording, it's only 6.7%. So he's still a nice differential. Kevin De Bruyne, of course, also came off early in that Real Madrid game. So Pep must be looking at him to get the start against Newcastle. But it's the perennial question, Kelly, isn't it? It's very difficult to pick a Manchester City midfielder. So do you go on the free hit for the safety of the defence? Do you go for Edison in goal? Do you go for Cancelo at the back? You probably go for both of those two. And then maybe you have a look at Diaz and Laporte as well. But I'm interested to know who the guys have got their eyes on in the free hit, because it's not easy.
Well, at the minute, I've got Cancelo, Laporte and Phil Foden. But that was very much picked before the result last night. And I think you said it there. Extra time is even more of a consideration for us in terms of what that's going to do to the rotation factor, because obviously quite a few of those players played 120 minutes. It was very intense. They'll be very disappointed and quite leggy today, I imagine, after going out of Europe. So it's a bit of a curveball for us, that, isn't it? Because I have to be honest, I expected Manchester City to get through that, especially when the clock hit 90 minutes in the Bernabeu last night. The thing with free hit, Manchester City are a bit of an opportunity in midfield to have a point of difference. And that's an important factor when you play in your free hit, I feel anyway, because you don't want to have exactly the same as everyone else, I suppose. You want to try and maximise your opportunity to pick low-owned players that you think can do really well in this game week. Now, Kevin De Bruyne is undoubtedly one of those players. Intriguingly as well, he didn't play 120 minutes last night. He only played 70, I think it was. He didn't look brilliant, but he has done in recent weeks, certainly in the Premier League, and he's just over 10% owned. I mean, I looked at Tom's free hit with Kevin De Bruyne in, and I'm sure you'll give us the reasons why in a second, Tom, why he is in yours. And I'm jealous. I think I need to find a way now after last night to get him in. But why KDB, Tom?
So, I mean, again, I put my team together before last night's game, and I now find myself grappling with some of the issues that you've just mentioned. My thinking with De Bruyne is that as recent weeks in the Premier League have shown, he is both in really good form and the most rotation-proof attacking Man City player. City have got two good fixtures at home to Newcastle, away at Wolves, and they have to win every game because they've got Liverpool breathing down their neck. So there's the motivation, there's the form and all the rest of it. But just watching that Real Madrid game, the manner of the defeat, obviously there are the, you know, the physical consequences of that, but also emotionally as well, just the sledgehammer blow of going out with the Champions League in such agonising fashion. It will be difficult for City to rally themselves for that Newcastle game. And as Lee said, you've got a Newcastle team who are having a great end to the season, who've got, you know, nothing to lose. It's a, you know, real sort of free hit for them, that game. So I think I'll probably stick with the armband on De Bruyne, but I'm probably going to wait to see what Pep Guardiola says in his pre-game press conference.
What about top scorer Riyad Mahrez, though? We know he doesn't always get the starts. He's played only 124 minutes of their last five league games. But even in that, he got a goal and assist. Or is he just too risky, do you think, Lee?
Yeah, he's got about 11 goals, 6 assists from 1,327 minutes, Kelly, to be precise, of league action. So that's actually less than 15 full matches. So he does get amongst the goals. I think Pep tends to play him in the Champions League. He tends to trust him more in Europe rather than in the Premier League. But as Ian's already alluded to, right, if you want to go in on the Man City midfield and you're looking to climb your mini leagues, then why not look for somebody that's a little bit differential rather than, I think, who the FPL community will go to, which is the Fodens and the De Bruyners. I think regardless of the Pep roulette, I think you need to buy three tickets. The double game week is so strong for Man City with Newcastle and Wolves. Those fixtures are too strong not to buy three tickets to the Pep Roulette. So whoever you go to, and I think you probably want at least one defensively, and it's probably Cancelo. I think you probably got to invest in all three, Kelly, and go for the three-man City players in this double game week.
Okay, well, it sounds like everyone's still on the fence as to who those three Manchester City players should be. Let's try Liverpool instead. Their two fixtures in this double game week are Spurs and Aston Villa. Come on, Ian, tell us who you were going to say before. You said there was a point of difference in the midfield at Liverpool that you were interested in.
Now, I'm not brave enough just yet to do this, but since I've put the draft together, I'm seriously considering not having Mohamed Salah and having Sadio Mane instead.
Is that just a free hit decision?
It would just be a free hit decision for 1 week. And bearing in mind that I should really have learnt my lesson, because I think a couple of game weeks ago, I took Salah out for a week and brought Bruno Fernandes in because United were doubling. And I think Salah got something like, was it 19 points at home to Manchester United? So I probably
sounds like another Kane and Son conundrum this year. I can see the therapy kicking in again in a couple of weeks.
The thing is, Mohamed Salah, in all competitions, has scored one goal in his last 11 appearances. And he is going to be a really, really popular player this week. He could well be well over 200% effective ownership. And that's when, obviously, people are captaining him. People are owning him. People are potentially triple captaining him as well. So his points are worth more than one to those people, clearly. And Sadio Mane is 4% owned. And he's the player in form. He's the one whose position has shifted in recent times as well. He's 11.7, so he's a little bit cheaper for those free hit drafts and allows you potentially to upgrade here and there around the rest of your team. He's got 7 goals from his last 9 matches in all competitions. He started 10 of the last 11 in the Premier League. And a really interesting stat about Mane as well. Since he's been back from the Africa Cup of Nations and since Luis Diaz has been in the Liverpool side as well, he's played predominantly as a centre forward. And all 10 of his goals before the other night against Villarreal were one-touch finishes as well. And that shows you the types of positions that he's getting in to score goals and to score points for your team. I'm actually trying to talk myself into doing this as well, so I wouldn't say anyone at home...
You're almost talking me into it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say anyone at home, just listen to me and just do it based on what I'm saying. Go and do your own research and have a look around your mini-leagues as to how well-owned Salah is. But Sadio Mane at 4% owned, even as a potential captaincy option, as a point of difference in your free hit, could be the thing that fires you up your mini-leagues. Maybe.
Of course, we do have to bear in mind with Liverpool that they have got the FA Cup final next week as well. And Jurgen Klopp showed us, as we've said, that rotation is something that will happen between now and the end of the season. With Trent being benched last week, Tom, do Andrew Robertson owners have to approach this game week with a little bit of caution, do you think?
Maybe, yes, maybe. I was thinking about bringing in Andy Robertson. I've been a Trent Alexander-Arnold owner pretty much all season, and Robertson's actually been outperforming him of late. I quite like the idea of getting him in, but the fact that both Alexander-Arnold and Salah were benched at Newcastle last weekend makes me think that they are probably now shoo-ins for both of Liverpool's fixtures this week. We know that Liverpool have got a capable understudy at left-back in Tsimikas, who hasn't played much of late. I would have thought that Liverpool will be thinking about giving him a rest at some point.
Okay, let's move on to another team who are very popular amongst FPL managers, Arsenal. Their two fixtures in this double game week are Leeds at home and then a huge North London derby away at Spurs on the 12th of May. How are we feeling about Arsenal going into this double game week, Ian? Because that's quite a mixed double, isn't it?
It is a mixed double. Leeds at home is a good fixture, though, based on their defensive record in over the course of the season, especially, but certainly in recent times as well. Although they have had a little upturn in form under Jesse Marsh, to be fair, that's given them belief that they can escape relegation this season, although they just seem to be being sucked back in again a little bit, don't they? In terms of Bukayo Saka, he's a player that I've not owned, stupidly, and I'll be really happy to bring him in on my free hit, definitely. Last I checked, he's about 30% owned as well, so he's a good player to own in that sense, that the majority of the game don't own him at the minute, but he's doing well, isn't he? 6.7 million as well. If you don't have him, he's definitely someone to bring in, I think, on your free hit. I don't know if I'd be targeting Arsenal if it was just with my free transfer, but he's got 14 attacking returns in his last 16 game weeks. He's started all of those matches as well, so there's no risk of rotation. Arsenal have clearly got something to play for as well, which is a factor that we we've spoken about. Defensively is a bit of a concern now for me. Aaron Ramsdale is potentially one of the players that I'm worried about taking out on my free hit, but considering their defensive record recently, perhaps I shouldn't be that concerned.
That's interesting you saying that you're not sure if you want to invest in Arsenal beyond this game week. In 37, they've got Newcastle away and then Everton at home. So on paper, those fixtures aren't too bad. Lee, what are you thinking about Arsenal at the moment? Bukayo Saka feels like a player that a lot of managers are going to have. So if you want to keep pace in your mini league, he's probably a good player to have. Any other Arsenal attackers?
Yeah, there's a couple, I think, Kelly. And Ian, I had you down as more of a maverick. Bukayo Saka, come on, he's about 30% owned. He's not going to shoot you up those mini leagues. You want a bit more of a differential, I think, in that forward line. And at only 5.5% owned, I think, and get Eddie Nketiah has started the last four. And I just think that the way that he has come into that team and the faith that Arteta's showed in him over certainly that last four, and of course the FPL points that he's getting as well, really good. I'd be very confident of him starting both of these games in this double game week. He's an absolute steal as well. He's 5.5 million. And across the board, I mean, all of the Arsenal Twitter community, the Arsenal fan boards, etc., they're rating Eddie pretty highly. I noticed actually in the previous game week, he was second amongst all players for shots. So he's definitely got that confidence. He's definitely getting his shots away, which is, from an FPL perspective, we love, right? I mean, the managers, maybe Arteta would prefer him to maybe pass and be a bit less selfish from that perspective. But in FPL, we love the selfish players, the ones that take the shots. And he's definitely taking them. So Saka, yeah, a bit of a safe pick. So if you've got him, I don't think you sell him by any stretch of the imagination. But if you want to supplement him in this double game week, then Eddie Nketiah might be the one to go to.
Okay, let's move on. Shall we go from one side of North London to the other and Spurs? Tom said he's steering well clear of the North London derby. But given what we've said about Spurs already, that in itself feels quite a bold move, doesn't it, Ian?
I think so, yeah, because I don't know. I feel like there's goals for Tottenham in that North London derby. But obviously, it's paired with the Liverpool game. So it is a very tricky double game week. It feels like the type of matches where Spurs may well be playing on the break, which then leads you towards it being a Son game week maybe rather than a Kane game week. But considering the way my particular prediction of those two has gone lately, perhaps just switch off at this point. But yeah, the idea that Liverpool and Arsenal could well have the majority of the ball in both of those games leads me to think that the likes of Son are potentially on for having better game weeks than Kane because of the way that Spurs will probably play in those matches. Again, like we've talked about with Arsenal, if you are targeting Tottenham this week, it's probably looking at the attack rather than the defence as well because of how tricky the matches are. But I think it's brave of Tom if he goes without any Spurs attackers, I have to be honest.
I mean, you know, that is the game. That is the free hit gamble that you take. I mean, I wonder what I'll do on Thursday night if I haven't got any Spurs players and the game week's gone quite well. I might have to go out for a little walk or something.
Hide behind
the sofa.
Try not
to think about it too much. Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, you would be a fool to back against Son Heung-min in the form that he's in. So yeah, that could very well come back to bite me.
Yeah, it's worth noting, guys, that actually that, and obviously the Liverpool-Spurs game in our household, in the FPL family household, is always a game that lives long in the memory between Sam and I. But certainly earlier on in the season, it was the game where Liverpool recorded their highest XGC. So I remember tons of chances for Spurs. I remember, I think, Son and Kane both got four big chance involvements each. So here's a team in Spurs that, if any team is set up to play against that Liverpool high line and to exploit the way that Liverpool play, it's Spurs. And I remember coming out of that game earlier on in the season thinking, you know, Liverpool were lucky to get anything out of that. So as a Liverpool fan, I'm worried about that game. And it could be one that affects the title race. So yeah, the other game, the Arsenal game, I think is actually harder to call because of what's in it for both teams. But that Spurs and Liverpool game, also pretty tough to call. So I wouldn't be too down on having either Son or Kane or both for the free hit.
Okay, let's move on now to a couple of teams that have double-doubles. Aston Villa and Everton, like Leicester, will play twice in game week 36 and 37. For Everton, it is a double away in 36 against Leicester and Watford. Their double in 37, incidentally, is a double at home against Brentford and Crystal Palace. For Aston Villa, this game week, it's a trip to Burnley before welcoming Liverpool. Then in 37, two home games against Crystal Palace and Burnley. Where is our interest in those two teams? Because they haven't necessarily, Tom, had the form of late. particularly Everton, of course, battling to stay up. But in contrast, Everton do have something to play for. Aston Villa on paper don't.
Yeah, I'm going big on both teams in double game week 37. But for double game week 36, I'm going big on Everton and small on Villa. And small on Villa in the sense that I have no Villa players in my free hit squad. I've actually got three Everton players, which would have been unthinkable a few weeks ago. But we've seen that little turnaround in their form, that huge win against Chelsea last weekend. The very winnable looking fixtures they've got coming up. Obviously, we know that they have struggled away from Goodison Park this season. I mean, their form is skewed so heavily to home matches, it's ridiculous. But as we've discussed, we've got a Leicester team who'll be coming off the back of a big European game, and you've got a tight turnaround before their next match. We've got a Watford team who are basically down in all but mathematically. So I think Everton will be looking at picking up some decent points in those games. And they've got players who are in good form. I've got Richarlison up front in my free hit team. Since game week 31, he's had the most shots in the Premier League, the most shots on target and the most penalty area touches. Also got four goals during that time. I've got Anthony Gordon, who is both a regular starter, a key performer, and very cheap in FPL terms, only 4.6 million. And then I've got Mason Holgate as my first sub. Likely to start this weekend due to Everton's injury situation. Only cost 4.2 million, a bit of a differential as well, selected by less than 1% of FPL managers. So I'm backing Everton in quite a big way and steering clear of Villa.
What about you, Ian? Which way are you going on the Villa versus Everton debate?
I'm nervous about the fact that I've just brought in Philippe Coutinho for the Norwich game and now I'm about to free hit him out considering he's got a double. Going back to that point about being worried about certain players being removed for this week who could do well. But I think Richarlison's a must-own for anyone on free hit, to be honest. He's pretty much outside of Gabriel Jesus, whose numbers are skewed obviously by that haul against Watford, those four goals. He's pretty much the informed forward. I think I did a hit for the FPL update this week and Richarlison was about the third most transferred in player. I wouldn't be surprised if that grew as well. He is the forward to own for me this week, given the fact that Everton's fixtures are good and given the fact that his form is good.
Okay, then what about Chelsea? Wolves at home before they travel to Leeds. And then they've got nice fixtures to the end of the season as well. Leicester and Watford at home in game week 37 and 38. There was a lot of interest for them the other week when they had the double game week. But maybe that interest has been tempered a little bit, Lee, since that defeat at Goodison Park.
Yeah, many of us are sceptical, aren't we, a little bit, Kelly? I think about Chelsea, particularly James and Alonso, who I guess are the go-tos if you're going to invest in them defensively. But I think they've got potential, even if we get a bit of rotation from Tuchel ahead of the FA Cup final, which we might do. I still think those would be the go-to guys. I mean, those fixtures look pretty good, don't they? Wolves in particular, their last three matches, they've played Newcastle, Burnley and Brighton. So here's three teams where you'd expect Wolves to create a few chances, but haven't recorded a single big chance created, right? No big chances against those three. So are we looking at a Wolves side here that are potentially a little bit on the beach? Are they already kind of planning for next season? I don't know. So listen, I've got no Chelsea defence in my team right now. I haven't got a James or I haven't got an Alonso. But as I'll talk about a bit later on, I am potentially thinking about bringing one of those guys in as a bit of a way to free up some funds for another move that I'm looking at. So yeah, Chelsea defence, very investable ahead of what I think is on paper a really good looking double game week.
Okay, so let's cover off some of the other teams that we haven't mentioned that do also double. Watford have Crystal Palace away and Everton at home. But Lee, are we simply put off by, no matter how good those fixtures are, the form just is not there?
Yeah, I'm afraid to say, Kelly, I wouldn't be looking at them if I had the free hit. The beauty of the free hit, of course, is you can pick whoever you want from all the top teams. And I don't think you're going to be filling your team with too much Watford. And even as a non-free hitter, I'm looking enviously over at the likes of Richarlison and others that the guys have already mentioned. So, it seems weird to just ignore a team completely on a double game week. But I think Watford are one of them, Kelly. Yeah, afraid so.
Yeah, likewise, Norwich, they're already relegated. They've got West Ham and Leicester. Leeds have got a really tricky double, travelling to Arsenal and then hosting Chelsea, whilst Wolves have on paper the hardest double game week against Chelsea and then Manchester City at home. I notice you haven't mentioned any of those, Tom. Is that because you're keeping away from all of those teams?
Yes, I'm keeping a safe distance from all of those teams. Having said that, I mean, you look at Norwich, West Ham at home, West Ham coming off the back of that Europa League semi-final second leg, and then away at a Leicester team who, you know, are basically sort of sleepwalking to the end of the season. Is there a case for, you know, for putting in Timo Pukki or something like that? There is a case to be made for making a left field choice, but not a left field choice that I will be seriously contemplating between now and the weekend.
Tom and Ian, let's reveal your sides. Who's your 11 as it stands?
Yeah, I've gone for 5-4-1 because I've really enjoyed...
Five at the back, Ian, on a free hit.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed having the attacking defenders. We'll wait until you hear the five, Lee, before you pass judgment.
All right.
Schmeichel in goal, as we've said. Alonso, Robertson, Alexander-Arnold, Cancelo and Laporte is the back five, which feels very strong. Saka, Salah, Foden and Son as my midfield four, with Richarlison up front. And the bench is literally as cheap as possible. The only little luxury is that Anthony Gordon is my first sub, and I've spent probably 0.2 or 0.3 more on him than I potentially could have done. This isn't final, I have to say that. This is just at the point where you asked me to put it together for the podcast. This is where I'm at. Feel free to comment now, Lee.
What would I say about that? I would say you're free-hitting to what a lot of people currently have as their team. I'd want a few more risks in there, Ian. I'm certainly not sure I'd want to go five at the back on a free hit. This game is supposed to be fun, right? And I think you'd be sitting there, fingers crossed, hoping for the Man City clean sheet, the Liverpool clean sheets, which you know may or may not come. And Robertson, as we've already discussed, I would be surprised, to be honest, if we don't get some rotation with Andy Robertson ahead of that FA Cup final. So it's looking okay, mate, but I think you want a little bit more fun in there. I'd take a few more risks.
Tom, what about you then? Let's hear your 11 and potential bench.
Okay, if anyone who I'm in a mini league with could stop listening for the next couple of minutes, and that includes you three. So I've got Ederson in goal, a back four of Trent Alexander-Arnold, Virgil van Dijk, João Cancelo, Marcus Alonso, and then a five-man midfield, Salah, De Bruyne, Saka, Maddison and Anthony Gordon with Richarlison as a lone striker. And I've got this the cheapest bench, players who I'd never even really heard of before I put the team together. Mason Holgate as first sub. Then I got Jason Steele from Brighton as my reserve goalie, Sam Greenwood from Leeds and Dane Scarlett from Spurs.
Lee, your thoughts?
Well, there's no Spurs attack. So Tom, very much sticking to what you said earlier on in the podcast, which is, I think, is a brave move given, you know, they've got everything to fight for. Again, where's the Jota? Where's the Diaz? Where's the Mount or the Havertz or the bit of fun in there? I think the bit of a risk. It feels like a very safe free hit from both of you. Not that I want to be too negative because you'll both fly above me in the mini league probably as a result of these free hits. But yeah, solid, Tom. Very solid. Difficult to criticise that at all. But De Bruyne, I noticed, is your captaincy. We'll talk about that a bit later on. That's an interesting one.
I am open to making changes to this. It is very much a provisional 11.
Me too.
And I think I'm gonna, you know, I'll listen to the manager's press conferences over the next couple of days. I'll read some articles.
The seed of doubt in Kelly for both of them.
You successfully planted the seed of doubt. But I like the thought of bringing in some proper differentials. I'm probably not going to go with James Maddison. I may take the risk of maybe even going without Salah. Depending on how brave I'm feeling. But yeah, I think that team will look different come the deadline.
Let's have a quick mention for some of the single game week teams then, because West Ham, Crystal Palace, Southampton, Brentford, Man United, Burnley, Brighton and Newcastle do all play once. And we know from past experience, don't we, Lee, that single game week players can outscore the doublers. So are there any players that we should be looking at from any of those teams, do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, on any given game week, you'd be looking at the likes of, I think, Weghorst has got Aston Villa at home. You've got Wilfried Zaha, who's shown a bit of form in recent times against a Watford team that are struggling. You've got West Ham against an already relegated Norwich, as you mentioned before. Although they've got, you know, one eye on Europe as well, West Ham. So there are some options in there, Kelly. I mean, in particular, Brentford, I think, have been great. Last few weeks, the way that Christian Eriksen's come and changed the mentality of that team and the quality that he's added against a Southampton team that, when you look at some of the defensive metrics, are, you know, towards the bottom of, you know, XGC and things like that, and opponents' touches in the box. If you wanted to go in on an Eriksen or a Tony or an Mbeumo for Brentford, I wouldn't be against it, but it's a double game week. Often we get to this point of the season and we say they don't come around that often, but this season they have come around most weeks. But this is, you know, the biggest and most potentially profitable double game week of the season. So I don't see that either of the guys or any of the free hitters will be bringing in any single game weekers.
Tom, you have, however, teased that there is a single game week player that you've got your eye on.
I mean, I'm considering doing a madness with my free hit squad and picking one single game week player and just gambling on the fact that they're going to score a hatful of points. Because as you say, you know, there will be single game week players who outscore big name double game week players this week. And if you can correctly predict which ones they are, then you'll be racking up the points. If I were to bring in a single game week player, it would probably be Wilfred Zaha, I think. Crystal Palace at home to Watford, who are, as you are all too aware, you know, clinging on to their Premier League status by their fingernails. And, you know, Palace, who are having a pretty decent end to the season. Also Brentford at home to a Southampton team who are, you know, in a bit of a rut at the moment and who produced some really great performances in recent weeks, Brentford, albeit having not scored in each of their last two matches. So there's a possibility. Like I've said, James Maddison's name is on my team sheet in pencil. So if I replace him with someone, it might be a single game week player, but only if I'm feeling particularly brave.
Okay, so some potential interest there in the single game week players. Now let's move on to transfers and captains. So we've heard about Tom and Ian's free hit team. So Lee, it's over to you. I think this section is going to be heavily Lee Bonfield. What are your transfer plans?
So my transfer plans for this week are, I certainly have my eye on Richarlison. The guys have already talked about how good he's been in recent times. Over the last six matches, ranked top for XGI, for expected goal involvement. So I'm kind of enviously looking over at Richarlison, which is something I didn't think I'd say, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, such is the form of the Brazilian man up front for Everton. And certainly those fixtures, Leicester and Watford, they're in the top three, those two guys, for big chances conceded at home this season. So both of them not that great at home. So probably going to look to bring him in, Kelly. And if I do that, I don't think I'm going to want to lose Kane. I don't think I'm going to want to lose Nketiah. So I've somehow got to find the money to get from my third striker, which is Hwang, up to Richarlison. I'm figuring out how I'm going to do that yet. But I'm potentially going to take Robertson down to somebody, given I think Robertson will probably get a little bit rotated. So Robertson maybe to a Chelsea defender, maybe Alonso or James, and then Hwang up to Richarlison. That's my thinking.
That got from Ian. He wasn't so sure about that transfer.
I'm really nervous about not owning Andy Robertson because I've been his biggest fan this season. I think I championed him the first time I came on this podcast over Diogo Jota. And
he's
I've stuck my guns ever since. Yeah, he's been brilliant, hasn't he? I think he scored, didn't he, against Spurs away and then got sent off in the first match this season against them. Yeah, going back to the theory that I keep coming back to, he's another player who feels uncomfortable to consider going without on the free hit that's already in my original team. But Lee, feel free, mate. You do it. You can be the guinea pig. I'll watch your interest.
Okay, captaincy, because Tom and Ian, we've heard that you've still got a few conundrums to make with your free hits. Who are you thinking of giving the armband to, Ian?
It's on Mohamed Salah at the minute because he was rested for that match against Newcastle. It feels certain that he'll start these two matches, he's been the best player this season in FPL. It's just a form of late that's putting me off a little bit. And if I can find out a way to get Kevin De Bruyne into the team, if he gets the all clear in the press conference from Pep and he wasn't brought off against Real Madrid because of any injury, then I could be really tempted by captaining him. And if I'm brave stroke stupid enough to go without Salah and have Sadio Mane, he'd be my captain. So I just need to weigh up how brave I am, basically.
And Tom, KDB for you.
Yeah, KDB for me for now. Again, as Ian said, I'll listen to what Pep Guardiola says in his pre-match press conference. If there's any suggestion that, you know, he was taken off at the Bernabeu because he had a knock or something, or there's any sort of fitness doubts, I may give it to someone else. I just think if he is fit, he'll start both those games. City have to win them. He's in great form. So that suggests that he'd be a decent pick. And also, there's a differential element there as well because De Bruyne's ownership is not enormous. And I think most people this weekend will probably go with Salah. So hopefully that will bite them in the same way it bit them last weekend.
Oh, is that Tom hoping that you get bitten, Lee? Because I reckon you're going to be captaining Mo Salah.
Yeah, I think I am, Kelly. Yeah, I mean, if anybody out there wants to go a little bit rogue and captain Richarlison, by the way, if you really, really want a differential and climb those mini leagues and have a bit of fun in the last 3 weeks, I don't hate that, by the way. The guy's in sensational form. But the Man City boys are going to be heavily captained as well. I don't see too many goals for either Newcastle or Wolves. But so if you wanted to And if we want to go Cancelo, I think potentially his ceiling is quite high because, of course, you can get attacking returns with him as well. But the safe option, and I think the option I'm going to go for, Kelly, is Mo Salah. Pretty sure he'll get the armband for me. Last double game week he had was that incredible point sort, wasn't it, where he got a couple of penalties, I think, against Leeds United, if memory serves me correctly. So, yes, probably be Mo for me.
Well, there's a few options there for captaincy, as well as a few transfer decisions to make, guys. The best of luck making those. And thank you, as always, for joining me on the podcast. Thank you as well for listening at home. A reminder, you can still get all the info you need if you need any more for your teams at fantasy.premierleague.com. Plenty of content over there. And if you do enjoy this podcast and you listen on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, we would love for you to drop us a star rating. And of course, please make sure you're subscribed to get all our podcasts in your feed as soon as they are released. An early shout for you: next week's podcast will be out a day later than usual on Friday, just so we can react to that huge North London derby, which is taking place on the evening of Thursday, May the 12th. Don't forget your deadline. It's later. It's Saturday at 1:30 p.m., 90 minutes before the first kickoffs on Saturday. Have a great game week, and we'll be back next week.